So we talked, we're talking about Judges 19, then I want you guys to try to follow me if you can. And I told you in today's use is the concubine known as a side chick or a mistress. So I want you to keep that in mind. A mistress is a woman other than a man's wife having sexual relationship with a married man. A mistress could be in a relatively long-term romantic affair with a man who is married to a different woman. So we talk about the side chick and reverse that, and the side chick could be a man as well. Okay, so it doesn't have to be a woman. Instructions into righteousness. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures, all of them, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect through thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, so that's what the instruction in righteousness is. This is what the word of God is for. So when you get mad because someone is correcting you or instructing you unto righteousness, or if you're being rebuked, reproof, or don't get upset, because that's what the scripture is for. Make sure that when you're getting all this, it's from the word of God. Because we can condemn people, and the word of God ain't got nothing to do with it. Nothing. And they might even trick you to make you think that it's the word of God if you don't know the word of God. But the word of God is for our good. So the Bible tells the preacher, it tells us to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. That means when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. It tells us to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. What does the Bible say about rebuking in the presence of all? Some people get offended when they're rebuked in the presence of all. And that has a very careful territory there. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and correction, for training in righteousness. But it says, reprove a wise man and he will love you. Those who continue in sin, rebuke them in the presence of everybody, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. And that should be done when there's a person in there trying to tear up the congregation. We had an instance where one person was going from one person to the other, just trying to tear each, the church down individually. They were going to people, and the people didn't even come back and tell the pastor, but those are little Satan things. And actually, the Bible says you, if you find out about that, you rebuke that type of person that continues in sin. You rebuke them in the presence of everyone, so you don't let that one apple spoil the whole bunch, and that sin don't grow. That's how Satan works. That's how a snake works. Sneaky. Wisdom is built. Wisdom has built her spacious and sufficient house. She has hewn or chopped or cut down out and set up her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maiden, she calls, from the highest place of the city. Whoever is naive or inexperienced, let him turn in here. Ask for him who lacks understanding, she says. Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed and accept my gifts. Leave behind your foolishness in the foolish and live in the foolish and live and walk in the way of insight and understanding. He who corrects and instructs a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. A scoffer gets on dishonor for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not correct a foolish person for his ear, or he will hate you. correct a wise man who learns from his error, and he will love you. How many of us love the people that correct us in our errors? How many people love those people? Or do you get angry when someone tries to correct you? Give instruction again to a wise man, and he will become even wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Y'all say, what does this got to do with the stolen waters or sweet or the Levite and the concubine? Because you must have wisdom and understanding in order to understand the scriptures. In order to make the application of your life, the Bible is telling you here, this might be a hard word for some people, but it's necessary. The fear of the Lord is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding and spiritual insight. Okay, so I'm going to, the Bible says the foolish woman is restless and noisy. She is naive and easily misled and thoughtless and knows nothing at all. She sits on the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high and conspicuous places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive or inexperienced, let him turn in here. Let him turn into the way of adultery. Those that are naive or inexperienced, let them turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding or common sense, she says, stolen waters, pleasures, means stolen waters, are sweet. And why? Because they are forbidden. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the spirits of the dead are there, and that her guests are already in the depths of hell. Okay, so this is the warning before this story that I'm going to tell you about. Okay, and so I'm saying it again, I repeated some of this, literally talking about adultery. Okay, adultery, sexual sin. Okay. Now, let's go to the 19th chapter of Judges. During this period, when there was no king in Israel, a certain Levite from the remote part of the hill country of Ephraim had a mistress from Bethlehem in Judah, but she was unfaithful to him. The mistress was unfaithful to the Levite. And she returned home to her father in Bethlehem and in Judah, and was away from the Levite for 4 months. She left him for 4 months. Then he went after her after 4 months. You ever get separated from your spouse or, you know, significant other, and 4 months pass and y'all hook up again? So he goes after her. Now she was the unfaithful one. Now, you know, I want to see, I hope that you all engage after this story ends, because I want to see what his motive was. If he really went back there for her because he really loved her and cared about her, you know, and he forgave her. So then he went after her to speak kindly with her and convince her to come home with him. He brought his servant and two donkeys with him. When the Levite reached her father's house, the woman's father saw him, went joyfully out to welcome him, and brought him into the house. So the father of the concubine must have liked the Levite, because he joyfully went out to welcome him and brought him into the house. Her father made him stay for 3 days. So the Levite stayed there eating and drinking. On the fourth day, they got up early to prepare to leave. The woman's father says, "What's your hurry? Have something to eat, build up your strength, and then you go." So the two men ate and drank. So the woman's father said, "Why don't you stay another night and enjoy yourself?" When the Levite got up to go, his mistress's father kept urging him to stay. So at last he did. On the fifth day, they got up early to prepare to leave. The woman's father says, "What's your hurry? Have something to eat, build up your..." your strength this morning. Wait and leave this afternoon. So the two men sat eating and drinking. When the Levite, his mistress, and his servant got up to go, the woman's father tried to persuade them. The woman's father said, look, it's almost evening. The day is almost gone. Why don't you stay another night and enjoy yourself? Tomorrow, you can rise early and begin your trip home. But the Levite did not want to stay another night. He gathered them and they set out. They reached the city of the Jebusites, the city we call Jerusalem, riding on donkeys. When they were near the city of the Jebusites, the day was almost done. So the servant said, let's spend the night here in the city of the Jebusites. And the Levite said, no, we won't stop here in this city of foreigners, people who are not of Israel, but we'll travel on to Gibeah. Let's see if we can reach one of those towns and spend the night in Gibeah or Ramah. So they traveled on, and the sun set as they were at Gibeah, which belongs to the tribe of Benjamin. And these are the 12 tribes. And this particular tribe, there were 12 tribes. And this particular tribe is the tribe of Benjamin. They turned off the road with the intention of staying the night and went to sit in the city square. Yet no one invited the Levite and his party home to spend the night. Because it was custom, like when your fellow person come from, you know, the Lincoln Avenue person come from Lincoln, you know, and they're traveling everything, and they're originally from there. We invite them in. Somebody's supposed to write them in. Hospitality was big back in the day. As was the social custom in antiquity, hospitality is a significant mark of honor. Likewise, inhospitality is a significant mark of social shame. So at last, after evening fell, an old man coming in from his work in the fields noticed them. He was not of the people of Benjamin, but a man from the hill country of Ephraim who was living in Gibeah. The old man saw them sitting there in the square. The old man said, where are you going? Where are you from? And the Levite said, we are traveling from Bethlehem in Judah to the far parts of the hill country of Ephraim. I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and I am returning to my home. No one yet has even offered us hospitality. We, your servants, have straw and food for the donkeys, and we also have bread and wine enough for me, my mistress, and my young servant. We don't require anything else, so I don't know why they won't invite us in. So the old man said, peace be with you. I will take care of everything you need, but do not spend the night in the square. The old man took them home and fed their donkeys. They washed the dust of the road from their feet and ate and drank. While they were eating and drinking, the men of the city, an evil assembly, surrounded the house and began beating on the door. They called to the owner, bring out your guest, the man whom you have welcomed into your house. We want to have sexual relations with him. Now, right here, we think of Sodom and Gomorrah. The same thing happened. They wanted to have sex. It was a city full of homosexuality, which God condemned. Okay, and they wanted to have sex with, these were men that wanted to have sex with other men. In that case, they wanted to have sex with angels in Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot. This time, the men of the city says, bring out your guest, the man whom you have welcomed into your house. We want to have sexual relations with him. The old man pleading with them, I beg you, don't do this wicked thing to the traveler. I have welcomed into my care. I have a virgin daughter, and this man has a mistress. I will bring them out to you to do what you want with them, but don't dishonor my guests with your wickedness. Ain't it funny? Just like in Lot's, in the Sodom and Gomorrah, and how both time these men were willing to give up their daughters to homosexuality, in this case, a mistress, they're willing to give up a mistress to homosexuality than for the man. The men would not listen. At last, the Levite seized his mistress and pushed her outside. They raped her repeatedly and abused her all night long until the sun came up when they left her alone. Then the woman crept to the doorway of the house where her master had spent the night. She collapsed and lay there as the sun rose in the sky. Her master at last woke and rose. And when he went to the door to prepare to go on his way, there was his mistress lying near the doorway, her hands on the threshold. And the Levite says, "Get up, it's time for us to go." But she could not answer him. He put her body on the donkey and set out for home. When he reached his house, he went in and found a knife. Then holding her firmly, he cut her body up into 12 pieces. Cut her limb from limb. And these he sent throughout Israel. And as the pieces were received, anyone who saw this horrible display said, "Nothing like this outrage has ever happened in Israel since we came up from the land of Egypt." Think about it, weigh it carefully, and decide what to do. I'm going to Judges 20 now. Tracy, stop me at 2 o'clock. Make sure I don't go over for Dawn Renee. Judges 20 says, certainly the outrage the Israelites are reaching, certainly the outrage the Israelites are reacting to is the Levites' brutal dismemberment of the woman. Why would someone slaughter a woman and send her parts across the country? What is the meaning behind this heinous crime? Once they hear the Levite story of his attack by the Benjaminites, the community of Israel supports the Levite and holds Benjamin accountable for the Gibeon man's wicked action. When all the tribes come to the aid of the Levite, we see an Israel that is united against Benjamin. They're united against this outrageous crime. This story lays the groundwork for our understanding of relations between the tribes as Israel enters into the monarchical period. Saul, the first king and a Benjaminite, will abandon the laws of his God and will be replaced by David from Judah, who has the support of the rest of Israel. All the people of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, including the people who dwelt beyond the Jordan River in Gilead, gathered as one before God at Mizpah. The leaders of every tribe of all the tribes of Israel presented themselves to the assembly, to the 400,000 soldiers armed for war. And the people of Benjamin heard that the other tribes had gathered at Mizpah. So the Israelite says, "Tell us what happened to bring about this criminal act." So listen carefully what the Levite tells them. The Levite standing in front of the assembly said, "I arrived in Gibeah in Benjamin with my mistress. We only wanted to spend the night, but the leaders of the city came to the house where we were staying and surrounded it, wanting to attack me. They intended to kill me, but they raped my mistress until she died. So I took her body and cut her into pieces and sent her throughout our land, that is Israel's inheritance, so that everyone could know what an outrage the men of Gibeah have committed. So now, you people of Israel, I am looking to you for counsel. What should we do?" So not only is this act an outrage against the custom of hospitality in that day, but it is a gross violation of the life of another human being. So the Israelites, they're standing together. "We will not return to our tents and we will not go home to our houses, but this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will cast lots to choose who will go into battle against it. We will also choose 10 men from every 100 throughout Israel, 100 of every 1,000 and 1,000 of every 10,000 to bring provisions for the troops who will go to repay the disgrace done by Gibeah of Benjamin against the rest of Israel. So all the people of Israel gathered against Gibeah, united in their judgment, intent on action. The tribes of Israel sent messengers throughout the land of Benjamin. The messenger says, do you know what has happened? What about this crime that has been committed among you? Turn over those perverted men from Gibeah so we can put them to death and cleanse this evil from Israel. But the people of Benjamin would not listen to their kinsmen, the other tribes of Israel. The Benjaminites gathered out of their towns to Gibeah to go to battle against the rest of Israel. They gathered a force of 26,000 armed men in addition to the men of Gibeah, all of them worthy fighting men. 700 of these were left-handed warriors. 700 of these were left-handed warriors who could sling a stone so accurately that they could hit any target, no matter how small. You know, there's something about a left-handed person that's unique. Opposing them were the forces of Israel, 400,000 warriors strong. The people of Israel went up to Bethel to ask of the true God, who should press the first day's attack? The Israelites said, what tribe should lead us in battle against Benjamin? Judah shall lead the attack, God said. Judah shall lead the attack. The people of Israel rose in the morning and camped against Gibeah, where they went into battle against the warriors of Benjamin. That first day, the warriors of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and won a great victory, striking down 22,000 warriors of Israel. The people of Israel presented themselves before God and wept until evening came. They laid before him the question. The Israelites said, should we go back into battle tomorrow against our kin, the Benjaminites? Because remember, the Benjaminites was still one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And God said, yes, go back into battle. The warriors of Israel took courage and drew up their battle lines where they had been at the beginning of the fight on the first day. In obedience to God for a second day, the Israelites advanced against the Benjaminites. But the warriors of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, struck down 18,000 warriors of Israel, and won another great victory. So all the people of Israel, all the warriors went back to Bethel to weep before God. They fasted until evening came, and then they offered sacrifices and burnt offerings before God. Again, the Israelites questioned God, for in those days, the covenant chest was still with them, and the priest, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before it. The Israelites said, should we go back again into battle against our kin, the Benjaminites, or should we give up? God said, go up again tomorrow. I will give you victory. So the warriors of Israel changed their strategy and secretly stationed warriors around Gibeah, ready to ambush the Benjaminites. The third day, they lined up as before and went into battle against Gibeah. When the warriors of Benjamin came out, they were drawn away from the city. As before, they began to draw blood, striking down their foes along the main roads, one of which goes to Bethel and the other back to Gibeah, as well as in the open country. About 30 men of Israel fell, and the warriors of Benjamin fought they would succeed again. The Benjaminite says, this is just like the first time. We're going to destroy the Israelites today, just as we did earlier. But the Israelites were following a new plan. They began to retreat to draw the Benjaminites farther away from the city towards the road. So most Israelite troops pulled back to a line in Bel Tamar, while the hidden group waiting in ambush rushed out of their hiding place on the plain in Meribah. Then 10,000 6,000 of the hardest Israelite warriors rushed against Gibeah. The battle was a fierce one, and the warriors of Benjamin did not realize that their end was near. For God defeated Benjamin that day before the people of Israel, who killed 25,100 of them, almost all their men at arms. Then the people of Benjamin realized their crushing defeat. The warriors of Israel had retreated before their foes, trusting the men lying in ambush who had rushed upon Gibeah and destroyed the entire city. Their plan was that when the ambushers sent a cloud of smoke from the city, the main force would turn on the pursuing warriors of Benjamin, thinking that since they had already slain 30 men and the warriors of Israel were retreating, they were going to be victorious over them again. But the Benjamin knights were surprised. The Israelite warriors who entered Gibeah sent up a towering column of smoke, and the warriors of Benjamin turned around to see their refuge, the entire city burning. The main force of Israel turned and began attacking fiercely, and the warriors of Benjamin lost heart, for their doom was upon them. Oh my God, the spirits of the dead were there. They ran from the warriors of Israel toward the wilderness, but they were caught both from behind and by the victorious soldiers emerging from the ruined Gibeah. The slaughter continued from Nohath to the east of Gibeah, and 18,000 courageous warriors fell. Of those who turned and fled in the direction of the wilderness to the rock of Rebbon, 5,000 of those were slain on the main road, and another 2,000 were pursued as far as Gidim. So in all, the people of Benjamin suffered the loss of 25,000 fighting men, all of them courageous warriors. 600 of them survived. They had fled to the rock of Rimmon, where they remained for 4 months. In the meantime, the warriors of Israel had done their best to destroy the people of Benjamin, killing them, destroying their livestock, and burning every city and town they encountered. One thing the people of Israel had sworn in their council at Mizpah was that no tribe would give wives to the men of Benjamin. The people returned to Bethel, house of God, and there they cried out and wept bitterly before the true God until evening. The Israelites said, "Why, God, true God of Israel, has this happened? Why do we have one less Israelite tribe today?" Because they were all, the 12 tribes were supposed to stay together. So they're mourning, like, why do we have one less Israelite tribe today? So the next day, the people rose early and built an altar, and they made sacrifice and presented burnt offerings and peace offerings. Therefore, Israelites says, "What tribe of all the tribes of Israel do not come up to the assembly of God at Mizpah?" For they had also taken a solemn oath that whoever did not come before God at Mizpah would be put to death. The people of Israel were moved with pity toward their kin, the tribe of Benjamin. After all that fighting, they had pity. Israel says, "Look, one tribe of Israel has been cut off from the rest of us. How can the survivors of Benjamin get wives? Since we have all sworn by God not to give them our daughters, are there any of the tribes of Israel that did not come up before God at Mizpah?" And it turned out that nobody from Jabesh Gilead had come up to the assembly. When the roll was called throughout the camp, none from Jabesh Gilead were present. So those gathered there commissioned 12,000 courageous fighting men to go and destroy Jabesh Gilead. "Kill them all," they instructed. "Every man, every woman who has been with a man, every child." They found 400 virgins among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, and they returned these to the camp of Shiloh in the land of Canaan. Then those gathered sent word to those warriors of Benjamin in exile at the rock of Rimmon and proclaimed a peace. The men of Benjamin returned, and the people of Israel gave them the young women of Jabesh Gilead, but they were not enough for all of them. The people of Israel were filled with pity for the people of Benjamin, since the Eternal has separated them from their brothers of Israel. And I'm almost done here. What can we do to find more wives for the remaining men of Benjamin, since all the other Benjaminite women were destroyed? Benjamin must have ears and survive, so that not a single tribe may disappear out of Israel. But we cannot give them our daughters, for we have sworn curses on any one of us who gives wives to these men of Benjamin. So the Israelites, look, there is a yearly festival of God in Shiloh, north of Bethel, to the east of the road that links Bethel to Shechem, and to the south of Lebanon. They told the Benjaminites to go and hide in the vineyards. So the Israelites watch, and when the young women of Shiloh come out to participate in the dance, dash out and grab yourself a wife and take her back home to Benjamin. Then if their brothers or fathers come to complain to us, we can say, be generous. We couldn't capture enough brides for our men of Benjamin, so we needed more women. But none of you suffers the curse, since you didn't give your daughters of your own free will. So that is what the men of Benjamin did. They kidnapped wives for themselves from the dancers at the festival and took them back home, where they rebuilt their town and lived in them again. And the people of Israel went out from their great gathering by their families and tribes, each back to their inheritance. During that period, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what seemed right to them.